consider a man could die 2,000 years ago. And that is verifiable through scripture, how he could actually do that and save me 2,000 years later. Actually, everything about his life, death, were all according to the law. He walked it out perfectly. And then you ask yourself these questions about God. Is God unjust? Would God disregard the law to condemn me because of what I did? Was he just? Would God neglect the law because I messed up so bad so many times? Would God look at the benefits of the law, my inheritance, and then pick and choose based on how he feel what I can or what I can't have?
Now, those questions might sound absurd to you, but these are the questions that I had to wrestle with myself. So I'm in for Spirit and Truth Christian Church Ministries this week, inviting you to listen to part two of It's Time to Stop Trying and Start Living. May God bless you as you listen.
So this week we're going to continue down the road, and what I want to make clear to you is this. Okay, so why is it so important to know gospel truths? Our nation right now is in a state of disarray and confusion and hurt. And families are struggling, and marriages are failing, and children are going astray. Our country is sexually confused, don't know what to do, and got to the point where they have what is this new identity? I identify as nothing. And if that doesn't just completely diminish what God created, to identify as nothing, that should tell us that in order for us to get to a place of walking in the great peace that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of peace, who is the Son of the God, who says the God of all peace, in order for us to walk in that peace, which I told you last week, to have peace is not simply the absence of war. Peace is the knowledge that you have the victory in the war. It's not to say that when Jesus walked on water that he didn't know that an ocean can drown you. But he knew who had the power to walk on the ocean. That's what peace is. Peace is not the absence of deadly and threatening realities. It's not the absence of troubling situations. It's not the absence of chaos. It's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of fighting and war and struggle and pain and hurt and loss. It's not the absence of those things. It's the knowledge of who has the power to hold you through those things. That these things don't have to bury you and take your life from you and rob you of the things that have been given to us freely. Peace is receiving from God the things, and I mean receiving with a pit bull grip. If he said, I got peace, then I ain't letting no situation and nobody take what he said I will give you freely. If he said you call, like we read in Psalm 63 this morning, David didn't let a cave in the wilderness cause him to deny his kingship and his calling. He said, whether I'm in a cave or sitting on the throne, God said, I'm a king, I'm a king. Amen. And so the reason that we need to know gospel truths, because it brings that element to fruition in your life. It's the craziest thing in the world. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, it says, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to them which believe. Now, that tells me a lot of different things. First of all, it tells me that there was an element in the world that he lived in that would attempt to, or whether it was directly or indirectly, bring shame to him for believing in something as absurd as the gospel is to the world that we live in today. That men could actually be at peace with God, know him intimately, and have God intervening and working on their behalf in a world with power that cannot be felt by any other power in all ages. That there is a supreme being, Yahweh, who actually is desperately passionate about being in relationship with his creation very intimately and working with us despite the things that we've done in our past, that he would forgive us and put us back on the right track, to give us the life back that we've had, that he would restore to us what the cankerworm has stolen, that he would build us up and give us his plan for our future. And then not only give us the plan and tell us what the plan is, but also say, you know what, I'm not going to just throw the plan on the table to you. I'm going to help you walk it out. And I'm not going to just help you walk it out. I'm going to give you the power to execute it. And so why is it important to know gospel truths? It's because this element in this world that we live in today that wants us to compromise, that wants us to back down, that wants us to second guess, that wants us to maybe change the truth up just a little bit, to maybe redefine a few things. No, Paul said, I'm not changing nothing. I'm not changing anything I believe. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? He says, because it is the power of God. So that means he's saying that I've seen something as a result of what I believe that trumps every power, every principality, every root of spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, I've seen something. That's what David said in Psalm 63. I read that to you this morning. He said, Lord, I'm in this cave, and it's only one thing I'm yearning for right now, to see your power like I've seen it before. Paul said, you know what? I realize that this power comes from God through me believing the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says it's not just a power that comes. He says it's a power that comes and takes you somewhere. So he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto, which means that brings you into, that brings forth, that causes something to happen. And he says what happens is salvation. Now, salvation is one of those words that if you are a new believer, you're very likely to believe that salvation, like I did until I started studying this and learning more about it, that salvation is something coming. It's when I die, then I'll receive salvation. You know, it's salvation is, and that's not to say that that's not true. But there's a salvation that you can walk in right now. There's a wholeness, a healing, a deliverance, a strength, a wisdom, a knowledge. There's something that you can walk in right now that brings you into what you have been ordained for, created for. And the weird thing about it is, Paul said that they're going to be men who are actually going to be saved and brought into this through the foolishness of preaching. Paul called preaching foolishness. You know why? How much sense does it really make for you to hear something, believe it, and it change everything in your life? You hear a message and it changes your eternal trajectory. You hear a message and believe it, and it reconnects you with a holy and living God through you believing a truth. Not, and I'm not talking about believing in yourself. I'm not talking about hearing a message where you just feel better about yourself when you leave. Or you just got encouraged that you can do it. Go and take another shot at life. I'm talking about believing something that happened outside of your age and your time period, not even in your region of the world, that happened apart from you, but because of you partly. And because you believe that this happened and everything around it is real and true, that it completely changes everything that you experience in life. That's why he said it's foolish. It's crazy. This is crazy, man. This is so cray. This ain't just cray. This is cray cray. This is cray, way cray. That you can hear a message and it can bring eternal power into your life. Eternal power into your life to blow the gates off the hell of your mind, to set the man or the woman inside of you that has dreams and gifts and passion and intellect and intuition and goals, set that person free. And then say, yeah, that's the person I want. And guess what? And I'm going to fill you with my power. The whole purpose of last week's message was to keep you from being that person, but never seeing that person. To stop wishing and hoping and understanding that the power for that person to be unleashed is through you believing the gospel. That's crazy. That's why the message was called Stop Trying. He's saying, basically, in today's terms, it's not a self-help group that's going to get you living. It's not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not find the right person to speak the right thing into your life. It's not finding your true identity. It's not any of those things that's going to get you there. It's not, hey, figuring out what is your what do they call it now? They working with what is your number one success blocker? It's not discovering what your success blocker is. This is being intimately acquainted with gospel truths. That's what's going to unlock the power. So today, I just want to take you back to that very thing, that this is, I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that there's a little more you have to do. There might be a little more you have to believe, but I'm going to tell you what I say about the gospel. The gospel, knowing only part of the gospel, is like having a plug with only one prong. You're going to plug in, but you ain't getting no power. You need to know the whole gospel. So I pointed out to you last week one gospel truth. I said, hey, how can God forgive sins from 2000? And I showed you that. That's actually scripturally provable. How can God forgive sins 2000 years later? How does that work? And most of the time, like I did, it's some kind of intellectual, he's just God. You know, he can do that. No, you know what? The reality is, you know, we heard the word legalism. Do you know you got saved and are an heir of salvation and the kingdom of Christ through legality? I love that, because I say, wait, if God is just and I can prove by the law that I'm saved, ain't nothing he can do. I got my salvation. You know what I'm saying? It's legally. It's just like if you go into a court of law and you stand before a judge and the judge says, sir, I hear you're here claiming this estate up in bourgeois land, wherever that is. And we want to know how are you going to justify your claim? And he pulls out his briefcase and he opens up all his papers and he says, Your Honor, here you go. I have legal documentation that says that that's mine. Now, the judge could look at him and say, I don't like them pants. He got snot in his nose. He got sleep in his eyes. His hair looked cruddy. I don't like his jacket. He came in. He don't speak well. He don't sound edgy. He could say anything you want about him, but he got legal documentation. I don't care how y'all don't like him. I don't care how they don't like him. I don't care what it looked like he deserved or what he don't deserve. He has legal documentation that that land in bourgeois land is his. Now, I will ask you this. Why would Jesus Christ say such a thing as, hey, don't think that I came to take away the law? He said, I didn't come to take away the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. Do you know by Jesus Christ fulfilling the law that he was able to seize life and give it to who he chooses? By the law, none of us would get it. But if someone could come along and fulfill the law and take authority over what the law could not give, which is life, they could then have the life and everything that goes in the kingdom of God and give it to whoever they want to. He said, I got it now. And I'm going to give it to those who believe me. That's good news. He said, heaven and earth might pass away. He said, but not one jot or tittle of the law is going anywhere. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, having fulfilled all the law. And that is the beauty of legalism. So briefly, I'm going to give you a reason to catch a case in this law thing we call salvation. You know, he called it, he said, by what law? The law of faith. It's still a law. And today I want you to catch a case. All right. And I'm just doing that to maybe help you remember easily. Catch a case. Let us see. Consider. I want you to consider who God is in the law. Consider the gospel truths that are being set before us, that a man could die 2,000 years ago, and that is verifiable through scripture, how he could actually do that and save me 2,000 years later. That he actually, everything about his life, death, his life and death were all according to the law. He walked it out perfectly and fulfilled the law. And then you ask yourself these questions about God. Is God unjust? Would God disregard the law to condemn me because of what I did? Was he just? Would God neglect the law because I messed up so bad so many times? Would God look at the benefits of the law, my inheritance, and then pick and choose based on how he feel what I can and what I can't have? Or would he be just and say, you know what, these are the benefits of the law right here. These are the benefits. It's joy, it's peace, it's power, it's unworkable favor. Would he look at you and say, nah, you know what? Look, I'm going to save you, but you're going to live your life in hell. You ain't getting no peace. You're not getting any joy. Side note. Have you become the obstructor of your own benefits because you are failing to believe the gospel? Are you, as we talked about in Hebrews last week, still trying to commit to the same old dead works, never ever getting to where you really need to be because you think it's all up to you? The letter A. So C is consider. A is act. Now, there are actions that we need to commit to. I, you know, as much grace that we talk about, as much power as we look forward to, as much as we talk about God being the one doing all, we still have to act. I mean, Peter didn't just walk on water. He had to jump out the boat. He said, the Lord said, hey, yeah, you, as my beneficiary, water is, don't drown us. We walk on it. Peter did have to get out of the boat. Yes, speak. What do you say that's gospel related about your life, your future, your children, your husband, your wife? Does everything in your life that you speak of have the essence and fragrance of gospel truths? Or are you just speaking based on what you see? Your child lied, so you're a liar. Your child failed to do something, you're a failure. Child didn't want to get up, you lazy. Husband didn't cut the grass, you're a bum. Your boss ain't treating you right. I ain't gonna never get nowhere in this company. What if God say you are? You depending on your boss, or you depending on the one who got your life in his hands? You depending on the boss of bosses? Speak. What do you say about your life, your future, your situations that has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you say about your family? What do you say about yourself? I'll never be able to really get over this. I don't know if I'm ever going to get straight. You know, my daddy had this. My auntie had this. My cousin. I've been this way my whole life. So new creature ain't real then for you. It's hard, though. What does it say that? How does that relate to gospel truths? Okay, so speak. E, exalt. Exalt the Lord. Exalt the Lord your God. Exalt the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Exalt the Lord. I'm going to give you an easy way to look at it. What does it mean to exalt the Lord, Aaron? Because I don't even know what that is. Is that kin to asphalt, exalt? No, it's not. Exalt means to put God above everything. Now, here's an easy way to tell whether you exalt God or not. You know, for me, it's all about whatever that is, it's your God. If it's all about you, you your God. Oh, how about this one? I remember having this argument some years ago. It's all about my family. Then your family your God. You better hope you can save them. It's all about my children. You better hope your children can save themselves. If we are going to walk in these benefits, we have to give the King his rightful praise, our obedience, our trust, our faith. And that's just the way it goes. So I hope you catch a case today. Because in the court of law in heaven above, it's been stamped in red, beneficiary. It's been stamped in red, heir to the throne. It's been stamped in red, forgiven. It's been stamped in red, a son or a daughter. And heaven and earth and the powers that are in them know whose you are. The question is, do you know whose you are? And are you walking in this world like you own it? He said, come to me like a little child. You tell a little child. Like we used to do this with our children. We would let it when they were consistent with something, you know, for long enough. You know, we homeschooled our children and we would let them be when they were real little. We would let them be king for a day or queen for a day. You tell them they're king for a day and watch them. They be walking around like, you won't tell me nothing. Now, they need to learn humility, but nevertheless, they could walk in being king or queen for a day. They could just receive it. If you say, I'm my own boss today, I'm my own boss today. Now, we never told them that, you know, we would say, now, that stops when you walk out the door. Now, you can't try to be the king of your neighbor's house. But do you walk in being a child, an heir? Do you believe the gospel really is power that works in your life? Or are you still trying to figure it out? You're still trying to figure out how to fix your health, or you fix your finances, or fix your marriage, or fix your children. You're just trying to fix stuff. And you ain't fixed it yet. You need some power. And that power, I got 2 minutes. So I know we've been going long today, but I want y'all to hear this. That power created man. That power created the heaven and the earth. That power, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, parted the sea and then killed his enemies. That power made metal float up to the top of the water. That power made walls that seemed impenetrable fall to the ground. That power made a whole host of an army go crazy and kill theyself. And the friends of God didn't even have to raise a finger to kill them to fight. They just watched God do whatever he did. That power has reconciled. That power has built up. That power has provided rain out of the sky when people didn't even know what rain was. That power brought water out of a rock, which seemed impossible. That power made bread come out of heaven down to the earth to feed God's people because they were in a dry place. That power has healed people, delivered people, cast out devils. It has set people free. It has brought kings low and turned them into beasts and then set them free and raised them back up. Me and Brother Dan was talking about that this morning. We like, man, how do you anticipate what God is going to do when he might be doing something you ain't never seen done? And that's where we get all messed up. We think we know how God need to work in a situation. You need to just say, you know what, however you going to work this, God, work it. I want to see your power in my life. Amen. God is ready for all of us to stop trying, start living. I mean, we got to receive what he has given. Receive it by faith in his holy name.
Amen. I think I'd much rather depend on the work of Christ to bring me into the great benefits of the kingdom of God than to depend on myself, man. I mean, it's scary to think about what I bring to the table and how that can please God versus depending on God to have completed the work that needs to be done. Well, I hope that has lifted your spirit and caused you to think on a different plane. I'm in for Spirit Truth Christian Church Ministries. This is Aaron Clark. You can check out more messages, like and follow us on Facebook. Until next time, hey, God bless you. Stay strong. Keep believing. Stop comparing yourself to what's going on around you and what they say, and listen to what God says. God bless you.